Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello, and welcome to the first ever episode of The Rumour Mill. This is a brand new show from Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and what we do here is we talk through the latest, hottest rumours fresh off the transfer press. We all know how this works. The transfer window opens and suddenly it's silly season. The speculation is rife. Cambridge United centre-forward starts getting linked with Barcelona. Barcelona's centre-forward starts getting linked with Real Madrid, and everyone gets very overexcited. But I'm not here just to add to the speculation. We're not here to make up rumours. We're not here to make up the numbers. We're here to cut through the noise. What's going to happen is I'll be talking to industry experts who know their stuff, they know their clubs. They won't be telling you just which deals are being rumoured, but which deals actually might happen. With that in mind, we're going to start with a cautionary tale because we need to talk about Gareth. Mr. Bale has been all over the back pages for the past couple of weeks, and the English press are getting very, very excited. It was widely reported that after Real Madrid lost yesterday, they lost 2-0 to Real Betis, and it was widely considered, widely expected to be Bale's last game for Los Blancos. As the clock ticked on, we were all waiting. Zinedine Zidane is, of course, going to bring Gareth Bale on for a farewell to the fans. He'd have a chance to thank them. They could thank him. It didn't happen. The minutes ticked on, ticked on, ticked on. Where is Gareth? In the end, Zidane never introduced him and the game finished 2-0. And all the papers reported this morning that, listen, after the game, Zinedine Zidane was asked about why he didn't bring Bale on. And he said, if I had made four substitutes, if I'd been able to bring on four different players, I still wouldn't have brought Bale on. Rubbish. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. He didn't say that. It's been brought up. Various journalists, Ben Haywood, Spanish journalist for the Evening Standard, has pointed out this just isn't true. He didn't say that. And we've got to be careful. We've got to be really, really careful in this transfer window silly season of what we believe, what we just take as read, and what we don't interrogate. With that in mind, we're also being told that Gareth Bale's response to this to his teammates, so supposedly this was said in private, apparently he said, I've got 3 years on my contract left. If they want me to go, they'll have to pay me 17 million euros a year. Otherwise, I'll just stay. Doesn't matter to me if I don't play. I'll just play golf. Now, come on. Did Gareth Bale say that? He might have done. He might have done. He might have said that to his teammates. But he supposedly said this in a dressing room behind closed doors. And we've heard rumours that he's not the most popular guy. We've heard rumours that Thibaut Courtois calls him the golfer, that he doesn't really speak Spanish, that he doesn't like late dinners. But I find it very, very hard to believe that Bale is just saying, I don't care about playing. The reason why I bring this up is because this isn't what we're doing here. We're not saying, Bale's going there, Zidane hates Bale. We're actually looking at what's going on. In this case, by the way, I suspect Zidane isn't very keen on Bale. Former Real Madrid president Ramon Calderon has come out and said, actually, Zinedine isn't that impressed. He will be going. But the question now for Bale is where does he go? What happens? Because we're told, with reference to this golfer club, that professional footballers want to play. It's that old cliche. He's a professional footballer. He wants to play football. But does he? Does he necessarily? He's on, if Gabriele Marcotti is to be believed in today's Times, over 600 grand a week. Now, that's not confirmed, but if he is on that kind of money, would you play golf for that? If someone said to you, 600 grand a week, sit on the bench in the Bernabeu, play a bit of golf, that sounds good to me. But where can he go? Who could sign him? We're hearing about a loan deal. That just isn't going to happen. Real Madrid are not going to allow a player who they spent a then world record transfer fee on to leave the club for free. You're going to have to pay probably most of those wages. You're looking at least 300 grand a week. You're probably going to have to pay a fee as well. We're hearing he could go to Tottenham. It's that old romantic story. Gareth Bale, player made at Tottenham, came from Southampton as a kid, started as a left back, left as one of the world football's biggest superstars. Not going to happen. Just not going to happen. Look at the reason why Tottenham are where they are. Look at why they're in a Champions League final. The reason why they're there is because they're an incredibly responsibly run club. They've been effectively held to ransom over the past few years by star players, the likes of Toby Alderweireld, saying, listen, I want 250 grand a week. I want you to shatter your wage structure. Pochettino's not going to do it. Daniel Levy is definitely not going to do it. And if he's not going to do it for Alderweireld, whilst the Spurs fans love Gareth Bale, I just don't believe that that club are going to turn round and go, yeah, all right, Gareth, we'll shatter our entire wage structure, lead to total mutiny in the ranks because you've got a good left foot on the 1 in 3 games where you're not injured. I just don't see it happening. Where could he go? Well, I've got a tip for you. We're hearing United. We're hearing that United could be the most likely destination. But what if, just maybe what if, he didn't go to a super club? We're hearing that he's actually being linked with a move to Wolverhampton Wanderers. Right, hear me out, okay? Because Wolves have this link to Jorge Mendes, the super agent. Well documented. He is not Gareth Bale's agent. But it's being suggested that actually for Bale, he needs a move. He needs a move where he's going to play. And actually, he needs a club who need to make a statement. And for Wolves, it would be that statement. My producer's shaking his head. The reason why he's shaking his head is because that is almost definitely nonsense. The issue with Bale is he's got to go to one of maybe 5 clubs who can pay his wages. And I think he's in a really difficult position. If we look at Gabriele Marcotti in the back of the Times today, he says the ball is in Bale's court if he wants to escape his gilded cage at Real Madrid. The problem is, Gabriele, if your cage is that gilded, you might just sit there. You might go, you know what, I like this cushion and I like the gold bars. I'm quite happy here. The classic example, of course, of why you might want to leave that cage is Arjen Robben. Arjen Robben was in a similar position at Real Madrid. He left to sign for Bayern Munich on a long-term deal, but took a big pay cut. It was seen as a risk. He certainly lost money, but fast forward 10 or so years, he's won everything there is to win, and there could be a future. But we're still hearing these silly rumours, Bale to Tottenham, Bale to Tottenham. I'm very happy to be proved wrong here. But he's going to cost $65 million in a fee, at least. He's going to cost, even if there's the sentimentality of a Spurs move, $350,000 a week, at least. They're not going to pay it. They can't afford to pay it. And if they do pay it, look at what happened at Arsenal. Because Mesut Ozil said, $350,000 a week or I'm leaving. Arsenal caved. They broke the wage structure. They paid him that. What happened then? Aaron Ramsey, well, if he's worth that, I'm worth that as well. And now we're in a situation where Aaron Ramsey has gone to Juventus on a free. Clubs aren't playing this game anymore. They're not going to be held to ransom by a player who hasn't featured in most of Real Madrid's games, hasn't been a game winner, and hasn't been fit all the time. Gareth Bale needs to think very, very carefully, stop holding the club to ransom, work hard, and possibly, like Robin before him, take a pay cut. But I'm sure there are Spurs fans listening thinking, I don't care. I don't care about all this reasonable financial conversation. This is football. We love a fairy tale. We want him at Tottenham. If I'm talking rubbish, get in touch. It's 0208 7020 558 or at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. And coming up, we're going to be talking to a Spurs fan, a very knowledgeable Spurs fan indeed. Jamie Brown of the Daily Hotspur is going to be on in 20 minutes time or so to talk us through whether he'd have him back at the Lane. But first, we've got to get a Spanish perspective. Is Bale going? And if so, where?
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to Johnny Burrow here on Love Sport Radio for the Rumour Mill, and we're discussing the biggest transfer story of the day. Gareth Bale wants away from Real Madrid, and they don't want him either, but where can he go? Well, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by a man who may well have the answer. It's Richard Fitzpatrick, who's the author of El Clasico, Barcelona versus Real Madrid, football's greatest rivalry. He's a man who knows a thing or two about Madridista. Richard, good evening. Thanks for joining me. Is Bale's time at the Bernabeu over?
It seems it is. You mentioned there at the top that he wants to go. I think he would be happy enough to stay if it wasn't the fact that his manager, that they don't have a good relationship. Zidane, as we know, left the Real Madrid job this time last year, and one of the sticking points, or probably the main sticking point for him, was Cristiano Ronaldo at Real Madrid, whereas the president,
Oh, Richard, the line is a little bit dodgy, I'm afraid. We're going to have to try to get you back on in a moment. We'll be with you in just a moment's time. Richard Fitzpatrick there, who is author of El Clasico, Barcelona versus Real Madrid, football's greatest rivalry. I'm interested by the suggestion that Gareth Bale would be happy to stay there, right? Because Richard seems to agree with this quote that's been attributed to Bale that he supposedly said to his teammates, saying, "I'm happy to sit there on 600 grand a week." Do you really think he would be? Because it's the dream for so many of us to play professional football. I know he's done it. I know he's won everything there is to win. He's won Copa del Rey. He's won Champions League finals with Real Madrid. And by the way, he's had a significant personal input in some of those finals. Why would he give it up? I know that that money is massive, but surely you would want to better yourself. I just don't understand where you've got the opportunity to become the greatest Welsh footballer of all time, if he's arguably not that already, to become one of Real Madrid's all-time greats. Or even if you think, you know what, Zidane doesn't want me, I don't care, or you think, I've had it at Real Madrid, you've got a chance to go to a PSG, a United, a Bayern Munich and become a star. I think we've got Richard Fitzpatrick back now. Richard, you're saying that you think Bale would be quite happy to stay at Real Madrid, but if he did, would he just be warming the bench?
He would, absolutely, because Zidane is his manager. If it was a different manager, for example, they were looking at Jose Mourinho back in March when they sacked Santi Solari, he would have a future at the club. But it's a personality issue. Himself and Zidane don't get on. When Zidane left the job for the first time last May, this time last year, one of the big sticking points with him was he wanted to hold on to Cristiano Ronaldo, whereas the president wanted to sell him. He never had a warm relationship with Ronaldo. And the president wanted to hold on to Bale. Bale already at that stage, this is a season ago, he had lost his place on the starting 11 under Zidane. So he was never a favourite with Zidane. Now Zidane is back in the hot seat and there's no future for Bale at the club. And in the background, there's also the issue of Bale's relationship with the fans. That's not as critical for his future at the club, but he was never popular with the fans.
Why do you think they didn't take to him, Richard? Because on paper, he ticks all the boxes for a Real Madrid signing. He's broadly good-looking, which they care about more than one would expect. He's very good at football. He cost a lot of money. He fits that Galactico bill. He scored them winners in Champions League finals. Why hasn't it clicked?
Yeah, because, well, first of all, the Real Madrid fans are very demanding, but the big problem with Bale is his physique. He keeps getting injured. He's had 25 injuries during his 6 years at Real Madrid. Real Madrid fans are not forgiving of this. You might think it's out of his hands that he gets injured a lot, but players play through injury. Alfredo Relaño is the most respected football editor in Spain. He's outgoing editor of Diario AS, he calls Bale a hypochondriac. In Real Madrid, the club has got its spirit and its identity from Alfredo Di Stefano, the great player in the 50s and 60s. He was renowned for his fighting spirit, that kind of energy.
So are they saying Bale's a wuss, Richard? Is that what's going on?
Essentially, yeah. And it's a valid criticism. You look across the country at Barcelona, for example, at a guy like Luis Suarez. He plays through injury. He's only missed 1% of his of games during his professional career through injury. It's common that players play through injury, but Bale isn't that kind of guy. He minds himself. No, he is in a difficult situation because of his body. He's an explosive type player. He's got this back injury, which he's had for about 10 years. I've interviewed Real Madrid physio and other physios at Wales and at Spurs and Southampton, his former clubs. So he has this back issue. He keeps getting recurring injuries. They're all within his hamstrings and his calf muscles. So there's scar tissue there, so he breaks down again easily. So he's in a difficult situation. And it'll be interesting to watch where he goes next season. And I can guarantee you he'll break down again through injury. You could set your watch by it.
Richard, I've got to ask, in the English press, there's been a lot of talk about comments which supposedly came from Zinedine Zidane and comments which supposedly came from Gareth Bale. So the suggestion, which has since been rubbished on Twitter, is that Zidane, after not substituting Bale on against Betis, said, listen, I could have had four substitutes and I still wouldn't bring Bale on. In your understanding, did he say that?
No, he didn't strictly say that. There was a mistake. I don't know how it happened through translation or
journalism. Transfer rumor journalism.
Sloppy journalism. But no, Zidane didn't say that. But which has been proved. But the spirit of what he was saying holds true. They don't have a relationship. They don't talk to each other. It was embarrassing, really. It was Bale's last game, effectively, at Real Madrid, his last home game, and it would be tradition for a player of his stature. He scored effectively the winning goal in the 2014 Champions League final. He scored possibly the greatest cup final goal in Spanish history, his goal against Barca in the same year, 2014. We all remember the amazing bicycle kick he scored in last year's Champions League final. Incredible goal for Real Madrid, more than a goal every second game for the club. Has won four Champions League titles with them. He's a great, great player, and tradition would be that he would, you know, say goodbye to the players as Zidane did with Keylor Navas yesterday. He allowed him, he started him, and he got a very
Zidane
warm reception.
Didn't give Bale that chance, did he? Bale
no,
full time, then hugged a coach of Betis who he'd worked with at Tottenham, and just headed straight down the tunnel. So all clearly not well. That's been echoed, of course, by Ramon Calderon, the former Real Madrid president, who told BBC Wales that basically Zidane isn't having Bale. With that in mind, I've got to ask you about some more comments. We're supposedly hearing that Gareth Bale has allegedly told his teammates that if they don't pay off his contract, he's very happy to sit on the bench and, as he supposedly said, just play golf. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's how he's feeling?
I don't know for a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me. It's happened before. At Real Madrid, players sit out like that. They just go on strike. He's got a contract until 2022, another three seasons. It's worth over $60 million to him. It's a really difficult situation for Real Madrid because there's no obvious solution. No club can afford the kind of transfer fee he should command,
and those wages as well, which are even bigger. I mean,
exactly.
You mentioned the terms left on his deal in pounds. It's 55 million quid, right, for the next 3 years. For a bit of context, Huddersfield Town's entire wage budget for this last gone Premier League season, 62 million. So that shows you the kind of differences that we're dealing with here. With that in mind, if Bale does decide to shelve the golf, to get off the bench, to perhaps be a bit less of a hypochondriac, if that's what's being suggested by elements of the Spanish media, where can you see him going? Because we're hearing links to Tottenham. And to me, when you make your very good point about the finances, that just doesn't sound realistic, Richard.
No, it doesn't. You would think he would go back to Britain because a big issue with him in Spain was he didn't assimilate, he didn't learn Spanish. He's an introvert by nature, so if he's living in a country where he doesn't speak the language, it'll be extra difficult for him to adapt. So, you know, there's been mention of, and it comes down to what clubs could afford him. You know, Bayern Munich or Paris Saint-Germain, those clubs obviously would have language issues for him. And so he'd be in the same boat again as he was in Madrid. But all the English clubs, there's problems there as well. Manchester United is an obvious home for him, and they'd have the money to pay his a loan period or his salary or maybe even buy him. But he's turning 30 in the summer. He's got this really bad injury profile. We saw what happened with Alexis Sanchez at the club. Do they want to buy in another player like that? From what I gather, Solskjaer wants a younger profile player. on his squad.
Yeah, it would be a massive financial risk. We're hearing outside links to Wolverhampton Wanderers, which these aren't coming from ludicrous sources, although it sounds mad. This is being reported by the BBC. Could you see that happening in any world?
Well, with Wolves, they have the Jorge Mendes connection.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to make a statement or something. It, the English Premier League clubs are the only clubs, apart from, you know, the likes of what we've mentioned, Paris Saint-Germain or Bayern Munich, that would have the muscle, financial muscle to buy him. So that's a possibility.
Imagine that. He'd look good in gold, I think, Richard.
He would indeed.
If I had to press you, and this is a very cruel thing to do, but what we're trying to do with this show is not just give oxygen to ludicrous rumours. So if, and I know your belief is probably that he's happy to stay there at Real Madrid. So do you think that actually in practice he'll sit there? Or if he's going to go, where do you think is the most likely destination?
Gosh, that's a difficult one, because psychologically you'd think Spurs would be, you know, emotionally the best home for him, but we know how
they're not paying it.
How tight they are with their finances. But he just won't play at Real Madrid. There's a real impasse there. So, my God, you know, this is a guy who had aspirations to win a Ballon d'Or award. Like, you know, to think of him at the peak of his career just playing golf down in Malaga or whatever.
He is a decent golfer by all accounts, but probably not quite as good at golf as he is at football.
No.
Do you think he's just going to stay and play golf?
It's really, really hard to say. I know his agent, Jonathan Barnett, plays hardball, so it's very difficult to predict. I think he'll go to a club, like he'll play football, you know.
Well, that's the hope. I think we actually might have lost Richard there, but lovely, lovely to hear from you. Richard Fitzpatrick there, who's author of El Clasico, Barcelona versus Real Madrid, football's greatest rivalry. I think that's a positive one. We're hearing this rubbish, effectively, to, I suspect, misattributed quotes from Gareth Bale, or allegedly from Gareth Bale, saying, I don't care about playing football. Well, we've got an expert on the line there, and the message seems to be clear. Gareth Bale is a man who cares. The money is big, but he's going to get big money somewhere. And hopefully, I suspect not in a Real Madrid shirt, but hopefully we will see him kicking a football again before long. And could it be for Tottenham?
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to The Rumour Mill on Love Sport Radio. This is the new show where we take the day's transfer gossip to task. We interrogate it. What's actually going to happen and what is just paper talk? But we also like to do a bit of a wind-up ourselves. So with that in mind, we are playing Two Truths and a Lie. I'm going to give you three transfer rumours. Two of them are, in inverted commas, genuine. They are in today's press. That doesn't mean they're true, but they are being reported as possibilities. One of them I've just made up myself off the top of my head. So you can get in touch with your answers in just a moment. Your three options are: Harry Maguire is being linked with a move to Manchester City. We're being told that Manchester United are set to offer Alexis Sanchez plus cash for PSG's Kylian Mbappe. Or is Wilfried Zaha of Crystal Palace going to Arsenal for £40 million? You can get in touch with me on 0208 7020 558 or at LoveSport Radio on Twitter. But first, we've been talking a lot about Gareth Bale. We're told that Tottenham could be the destination, that romantic destination, but they're not going to pay it. They're not going to pay the wages. I maintain this, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Jamie Brown of the Daily Hotspur, a man who knows a thing or two about Spurs and is, of course, of the glorious Spurs fan show here on Love Sport Radio every Thursday, 7 till 9 p.m. Good evening, Jamie. Thank you for joining me. Gareth Bale, you'd love him back, but it's not happening, is it?
I don't think so. I mean, it'd be a lovely story to see him come back. Obviously, he was fantastic, and we all gave him a great send-off when he went off to Real Madrid. It's really split Spurs fans down the middle. I mean, there's a lot of fans that are saying, yes, they'd love him back. But also, there's a lot of sensible fans, in my opinion, that are saying this is a deal that we should probably stay away from. I think looking at it, firstly, I'd question, you know, is he a player that Mauricio Pochettino would want to come in? It's just not a deal that Pochettino would usually try and pursue. I mean, we look at players that are kind of under the age of 25 and below. So in that sense, it doesn't make too much sense for us to sign a player like that. I'd also question whether, you know, is he actually better than what we've got? I mean, I look at the likes of Lucas Moura, Heung-min Son, Dele Alli, and Eriksen, who can all fit in the areas that Bale would be brought in for. And I'm just not sure he's worth the hassle, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, you're not having it, and I think you're spot on. But Jamie, let's broaden this, because I think we're agreeing that Bale, as lovely and romantic as it would be, isn't coming to the club. So we've got to think more realistically about players who, both in terms of transfer fee and wage structure, would fit with Pochettino and Levy's ethos a little better. We've heard a few names linked. One is Julian Brandt, the exciting young German winger of Bayer Leverkusen. Now, Spurs had been touted as one of three clubs who were a serious potential destination for the German. But we're hearing today that he could be off to Borussia Dortmund. Do you think that move, from a Spurs perspective, is dead in the water?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was. I think it was a report from the Bild that came out today, and kind of saying that he's off to Dortmund. Spurs, I think it'd be a great move, although it kind of suggests that we were looking to replace Eriksen. Julian Brandt, obviously a player that's played out wide for the majority of his career, but I know he's moved centrally and seems to really have thrived this year. I think he scored 10 goals and got 17 assists in all competitions, and 23 years old as well. So I think there's certainly a lot of room for him to improve, but I think there you see it's a very talented player. But yeah, it's not looking too keen on that one at the moment.
And Spurs do, of course, have previous of signing a 22, 23-year-old winger from Bayer Leverkusen. His name was Heung-min Son, and that didn't go too badly. So perhaps if it could happen, and as I say, it's looking like Dortmund is the destination, he could be quite a player, wonderfully two-footed as well. But a big focus for Mauricio Pochettino is going to be central midfield. Harry Winks has been injured. Of course, they lost Moussa Dembele in January. He went to China. There's speculation, as you've said to me in the past on the Spurs show, that perhaps Victor Wanyama might not quite be good enough. And of course, Sissoko has been a revelation, but can't do it all, however great he may be. We're hearing consistent links with Ndombele from Lyon. Now, from what I've seen of him, and I'll confess I haven't watched Lyon extensively this season, but from what I've seen of him, he's just extraordinary. He's got this ability to turn quickly in midfield, silky feet, but also steely in the tackle, with a real eye for a pass. Would you have him at Spurs? And is that deal realistic? I think I know your answer.
Absolutely. He, for me, is the number one target the Spurs have to be going after. I mean, he is basically the second coming of Moussa Dembele. Everything about him is very much like Dembele, the way he just can glide past players. Such a strong player, and as you said, it's exactly a position that we need to fill in the summer. I mean, Victor Wanyama seems to have some injury problems. Eric Dier, maybe question marks over whether he's actually good enough. I mean, it's interesting to see how Sissoko's going to go forward. I mean, he's been absolutely sensational. No, I don't need to say that. But Ndombele, for me, he's the one that I'd love to bring in. 22 years old. Now, he's going to cost. He's going to be costing in the region of 50 million. So that's obviously another worry in terms of where that money's coming from. Potentially, that might be from the sale of Christian Eriksen. But if you can get a player like Ndombele, I mean, that's a real statement in itself, because there's some big clubs that will be going after him this summer. And Manchester City have been linked, Juventus, and of course, the Lyon seems to be trying to sell him off to PSG as well. So I think it'd be a huge statement if we get a player like that.
Yeah, there was an interesting statement that I saw attributed to someone quite important at Lyon, suggesting that he had offered Ndombele to PSG because he was trying to do them a favour. Yeah. He's a good guy. He's trying to help PSG out, saying, listen, you will grow more from buying from within Ligue 1, which is an interesting selection. Of course, is the worry from a Spurs point of view that actually when you do have this very rigid, very well-run wage structure, that if you get in a bidding war with the Manchester Cities, with the PSGs of this world, you're going to end up needing to pay a weekly sum that actually you can't afford?
Well, I mean, here we go. It comes back to Pochettino's comments of whether he's going to stay around, and will Spurs offer him the tools to be able to go and strengthen this squad? I think he's talking about offering him the chance to sign players like Ndombele, but Look, I mean, there's certainly a lot of promise at Spurs. There's a fantastic training centre, fantastic new stadium, and of course, Champions League finalists and potentially even better. So I think there's a huge amount to be attracted to Spurs. But as I said, I think Spurs, you know, they've got to now go and back Pochettino. He said that that's what he wants, and I think that getting Ndombele in would certainly be a good start towards keeping Pochettino.
And just a final deal for us to touch on, Jamie. I know you've been very, very heavily linked with young Ryan Sessegnon of Fulham, being linked in a way which to me suggests that this deal might actually quietly be done. The concern that some people are having is that Sessegnon, when he really rose to prominence, really started to be hyped, was playing as a left winger for Fulham. He was playing in the Championship as a goal-scoring, attacking player.
Yeah.
Now, the suggestion, as I understand it, is that if he came into Spurs, he would probably most likely be featuring as a sort of attacking left wing back. Do you see him in that role, or do you think he might be wasted?
Well, certainly five at the back, or however you want to say it, is the style that Pochettino's favoured this season on many occasions. So I've always thought he might be a very effective there at left wing back. Danny Rose's future is definitely uncertain, and I'm not totally convinced by Ben Davis. So I think, I think it's been very heavily mentioned that both fullbacks need strengthening. And you know, I mean, I think it'd be a great purchase for us, not only because he's such a big talent. You know, there's so much room for improvement, and he's had a difficult season, but I believe under the guidance of someone like Maurizio Pochettino, I think you could really start to unlock that. And I think that's the case with a number of other players that Spurs have been linked with. I think the same with Grealish, a huge talent, and maybe faded off a bit. But under the guidance of someone like Pochettino, who's just an amazing coach, I think a player like Sessegnon and maybe Jack Grealish could really thrive. So I think Sessegnon is certainly a player that Spurs fans should be turning their nose up on.
But on that, Jamie, just quickly, I've got to ask you the question you really don't want to be asked, because you're saying there that these guys would thrive under Pochettino. Well, the Juventus job is now vacant. We're hearing him linked. Is Pochettino still going to be Spurs boss next year?
Well, look, it just all comes down to, I know he said a lot in the press. I'm just always confident that he's going to stay. And I can understand, you know, he's had a very difficult year this year in terms of managing the squad and obviously managing the whole club with the stadium issues as well. So he's had a lot of setbacks, and I know it's been a very draining year for him. Of course, you see the passion that he showed at the end. It was, you can just see how much it all just spilled out. And it's about giving him the tools to succeed. And I totally understand him wanting to leave if he was to go on and win the Champions League. You know, he won't be able to do anything like this again, unless we heavily go and invest. And that's what I would like to see us doing this summer.
Well, fingers crossed. Jamie, it's been lovely to speak to you, and your message is clear. And Ndombele has to be the number one target for Tottenham Hotspur this summer. Jamie Brown there of the Daily Hotspur, and of course, the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio every Thursday night, 7 till 9, with yours truly and the lads from Last Word on Spurs. Just a quick reminder for you that we're playing Two Truths and a Lie this evening. We're not engaging in transfer speculation, but I am also shamefacedly making one up every edition of this show. So, two of these are true. They're being reported in the press. One I have made up from my own treacherous brain. Your three options are as follows: Harry Maguire to Man City, Man U to offer PSG Alexis Sanchez and cash for Kylian Mbappe, or Wilfred Zaha to Arsenal for just 40 million quid. Get in touch 02 08 70 20 558 or at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. But coming up, it's the other half of North London.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to Johnny Burrow here on Love Sport Radio for the first ever edition of The Rumour Mill. And we're hearing rumours, no less, that Arsenal could involve Danny Welbeck in their Europa League final in Baku. That's despite the fact, of course, that the forward hasn't actually played since breaking his ankle in November. With rumours like that flying around, of course, they probably need a striker in the summer. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Simon Rose, who's a columnist for The Gooner. Good evening, Simon. Thank you for joining me. We're hearing strong links still with Nicolas Pepe, Lille's Ivorian striker. I say striker, enlighten me, Simon. Is he a striker? Is he a winger? Is he the right man?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of everything. I think also it's interesting, as you mentioned, that Welbeck featured in a match this week, and he got a hat-trick, a sort of training match. Of course, Arsenal not having action before the Europa League final, need to try and keep fresh. And I've been hoping that, that Welbeck might be able to be involved in that final. It certainly seems plausible. I think for me, I've liked Zahar for a long time from Palace. And I just think that the fee for a player like Zahar could be so huge that Arsenal wouldn't be able to pursue that. And a player from the French league might be more plausible.
Well, I mean, if we look at the fees being talked about, Simon, you're spot on in that Palace are apparently asking for somewhere between 80 and 100 million quid for Wilfried Zaha, which, as far as I'm concerned, is absolutely farcical, by the way. I think he's a great player, but nowhere near that kind of category. But Pepe is going to cost 65 million quid. He's being linked with United as well, with Bayern Munich, with Barcelona. He's going to be very much in demand. I mean, if we look at his goal scoring record just from this year, 37 appearances in Ligue 1, 22 goals. If you consider that, as you were saying, not a conventional centre forward, these are quite special numbers. We're hearing reports today that Arsenal are interested in Wilfried Zaha, as you say, for 40 million. Now, they're not going to get him for that, but they might get him for that and a couple of players they consider to be deadwood, such as Callum Chambers. For you as an Arsenal fan, as an expert Arsenal fan, as a columnist for the Gooner, if I offered you Nicolas Pepe and Wilfried Zaha, and you're going to have to spend roughly 70 million quid on either, who would you choose?
I think one of the key things in the Premier League is the time it takes for players to settle. And I think Liverpool have shown some of the players they've signed in recent seasons that have settled very quickly and made them such a force. I think that you can't deny how well a Premier League season player can have an impact quickly at a club. Pepe, obviously a very good record. You're still buying a little bit into the unknown. I personally would have a preference for Zaha because I felt for some time that I think he'd be a beautiful player for Arsenal. He's a very intelligent guy as well. Always gives very good interviews. I think he'd settle into the Arsenal team very nicely. But the money, of course, is enormous. Now, I've got no problem with Palace wanting a massive amount of money. They're entitled to want that. I've seen other players go for huge sort of British premiums, if you like. I think the key thing is, if your show's called The Rumour Mill, then you know this time of year is the kind of silly season when agents are pushing stories around and all sorts of players are getting linked to clubs. If Arsenal bought every player that we're linked to, we'd have a squad of about 300 every season.
These might win the league, though, Arsenal. Simon.
it might help. It's difficult selecting the team. But I certainly felt around Christmas time when we knew that Welbeck was out. I went to the Blackford FA Cup game in early January. Willock played and Nketiah played. It was good to get young players involved. But I felt at that point, and openly wrote it for the Gooner, that I thought our most important signing for this season wasn't a defender, but was the third striker. Because without Welbeck, we had to rely on Lacazette and Aubameyang too much. I think it cost us. I think Welbeck being out has been much more of a problem for Arsenal than most observers have commented. Certainly Bellerin being out for long stretches and obviously Holding as well. Three huge first-team players that Arsenal missed all season that massively affected us. And I think with Welbeck being out of contract, that is a crucial position for Arsenal next season.
So the
many fans are very, very keen for the likes of Smith Rowe and Nelson to make an impact, but experienced players count.
Yeah, they're not going to come straight in and change the side, I think, Simon. The big question, of course, on both Pepe and Zaha is, do you think either of those signings are actually realistic? Because one thing we're very keen to do on the Rumour Mill is establish what actually is paper talk and what could have legs. Could you see either of those two actually signing for Arsenal?
I think deals like that being talked about literally before the season has completed. We're not even out of May yet. Arsenal, of course, still have a European final to play in. I think they are unlikely. Both of them, I think, are unlikely. I think the kind of deal Arsenal will make is probably a lesser-known player. It wouldn't surprise me if these two are being talked about as a bit of a smokescreen for negotiations elsewhere. And as I always say on these matters, the world is full of footballers. There's so many players out there. Clubs know details on players across the whole world. I'd like to think Arsenal know who they want. And all I ever really ask of Arsenal is to have the courage of their convictions. Know who you want. Know what you're prepared to pay and try and get it done early. Hopefully, all Arsenal fans will be hoping that we can do business reasonably early this summer because there are far too many seasons of fiddling around, faffing about. We lost out on players And we want to try and make a strong attempt to put together a really decent squad as soon as possible. Hopefully, once the opening's out of the way, we know where we are next season, competition-wise, we can formalise those plans.
Yeah, one man, of course, who Arsenal are being linked with who isn't little known is Yannick Ferreira Carrasco, of course, made his name at Atletico Madrid, has now gone to China. He's playing very well there, 7 goals in 9 games in the Chinese Super League this season. He's been linked with Arsenal in January. He's now being linked with Arsenal again. But isn't this just rubbish, Simon? Because we're hearing that Ertzil might have to go to clear the wage budget. Arsenal are not going to be in a position to match the kind of wages that Carrasco is on in China, are they?
No, and this is where you get the kind of weird disparity between clubs and players and fees and leagues in different parts of the world. You know, players in China are paid massive money to go over there, which then, of course, destabilises their chances of getting to move back to Europe for clubs that won't pay them that kind of wage. Now, maybe they think they'll take a punt on getting a big wage for a couple of seasons and perhaps would accept less to come back to a club that they're happy to go to. There's no way Arsenal are going to pay them a massive amount of money. I think that Arsenal have to be very, very clear on what their priorities are. Somebody they might have wanted in January is not necessarily somebody they want now. You know, it might be 6 months, but they're like different kingdoms.
Yeah.
From one window to the next, priorities change. It depends on players who are fit and different contractual positions. I doubt any of those deals will happen.
Well,
for me, during the course of this season, there were certain players I really liked, I thought could be great for Arsenal, like Neves at Wolves. I think he'd be a wonderful replacement for Ramsey.
He'd be expensive.
And I really liked Dedefu at Watford. And as soon as I started tweeting about him, he started getting loads of goals, so he probably put the price up.
But it's all your fault,
player. He's a quality player with great technique. I think he, particularly with Watford having a really poor end of the season after the FA Cup semi-final, their form disappeared completely, and I haven't even seen the FA Cup final, neither have Watford. I think his fee could be kept reasonably low. That's a player I think would be great for Arsenal.
Now, Simon, that's a really interesting. I actually think that one might have legs. I'm interested by that. Simon Rose, thanks ever so much for your time. Simon Rose, the columnist for the Gooner, very, very rightly, I think, poo-pooing all of the rumours he was presented with and then suggesting one of his own. Gerard Deulofeu, once, of course, the golden child of Barcelona's La Masia, could he be the next man at Arsenal? They could afford him, but coming up, it's their Europa League finalist opponents, Chelsea. Well, who are they going to sign? They might be banned.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Oliver Harbord, who is Chelsea correspondent for Football.London. Good evening, Oliver. Thanks ever so much for joining me. First up, I've got to ask you the boring one, the easy one, the one I suspect with a painfully simple answer. Will that Europa League final in Baku be Hazard's last game in a Chelsea shirt?
I think, unfortunately, it is looking very, very much like that. We spoke to him after the final game of the season at Leicester, and he said he'd made up his mind. He said the club had made up, the club know his decision, and I think that's pretty much guaranteed that the decision is that he wants to leave. We know that he did want to leave last summer as well, but the club didn't want to sell him, and he didn't kick up a fuss. And I think part of that is the fact that they were willing to let him go this year. You know, they're still going to try and get as big of money for him as possible. They still want to hold out for about £100 million, which is quite a lot for a player who's only got a year left on his contract as well. But unfortunately, I think it might be a bit of a farewell next Wednesday.
A farewell indeed. That one, whilst painful for Chelsea fans, of course, won't be awful. Hazard's behaved well. The fans have behaved well. He would leave with his head held high and with respect. But one which will be a little more scary, as rumours go for Chelsea fans, is the fact that there are reports emerging today that N'Golo Kante might be emerging as a major target, I should say, for Paris Saint-Germain. Do you think that could happen, or is that just paper talk?
Well, it's not a new rumour. So, I mean, this was something that was sort of touted around again last season as well. Obviously, he has signed a massive contract with Chelsea, almost 300 grand a week.
Is it he's good and French, Oliver? Is it just seriously, is that why he's being linked with PSG, or is there more
to it
than that?
I think for PSG as well, he is a player that they could sorely do with, that style of player. He is a fantastic player. He's from the Paris region as well. So, you know, there's always going to be that link, I think. But he's not a player particularly driven by money. I mean, the league as well itself, I don't think he's got a massive desire to go back to League One particularly. It's not, you know, the most competitive league in the world. PSG are obviously on this massive sort of surge to try and win the Champions League. But at the moment, they keep fluffing their lines every time they get a good chance to do it. So, you know, for Chelsea fans, I don't think they'll be quite so worried at the moment. You know, this is a guy, as I said, who's not particularly driven by money. He's getting very, very well paid at Chelsea as it is right now. And yet he still turns up to training in his mini. So I don't think that draw of cash will be the one that really takes him back to France.
Bless him. The biggest question of all for Chelsea, of course, before we can engage in any of the transfer nonsense surrounding who might come into the club, is whether they're going to be able to buy anyone at all. There is still this potential of a transfer ban hanging over them. I'm seeing conflicting reports. Where are we at the moment? Are they appealing it higher at the Court of Arbitration for Sport? And if so, are we expecting CAS to follow the precedent they themselves set with Spanish clubs in suspending this two-window ban for one window, i.e. Chelsea could sign players this summer and then ban them from January and next summer? Or are we seeing something different entirely?
Well, at the moment, what we're hearing is they still haven't submitted that appeal. Obviously, the longer it goes on, the less time that they would have the chance to freeze the summer ban. I think that what Chelsea are trying to do is still weigh up their options of what they want to do. Obviously, are they in a good enough position at the moment with the players that they would have coming in anyway? Obviously, Christian Pulisic is still coming in, even with the registration or transfer ban as it is. And so they're still weighing up those options and obviously looking at the guys that they've got on loan as well. Some of them are very, very good players. And whether or not that's enough to see them through this season and then, you know, be able to build on for next summer rather than taking away that option. Obviously, if they freeze this summer and they fail in their appeal, then they will still have the winter and next summer where they won't be able to register players. So at the moment, there's nothing happened just yet. They're still weighing up their options. But I think if they do it, then you would expect CAS to really allow them to freeze, as you say, like they have done before. They freeze until the appeals process goes on. I think that's the one thing that Chelsea were very annoyed with the whole thing with FIFA as well. Mm. The fact that while the appeals process going on, they still upheld that non-freeze on the ban, even though they were appealing it. So, you know, I think it's something that they probably should do to really build on this summer, especially if they do free up some money from Hazard being sold as well. And then really put them in a good place to sort of, you know, if they do then have the problem where they do have two transfer windows in the future, that they can sort of look on to build on that further along down the line.
Yeah, and of course, they do have strong young players coming through, the likes of Abraham, the likes of Mason Mount or Reece James could perhaps all play a role. But just quickly, Oliver, I've got to ask you before we get going. There are rumours today, not just about a change of playing staff, but of managerial staff at Chelsea. These rumours aren't going to go away. We're hearing the old classic of Super Frank Lampard to replace Sarri. But we're also hearing that Chelsea women's boss, who's done a fantastic job, Emma Hayes, could be set to take charge of the men's team. Could you see that happening?
Well, I mean, I'd love to see something like that happen because, you know, she's proven that she can do it in the women's game as well. She's been fantastic. She's Chelsea through and through. A few guys, they've got the chance to sit down with her and her tactical knowledge is as good as anyone. So there's no reason why she shouldn't get the chance to do it. You know, it obviously would be one of the biggest stories in football for a very, very long time. But there's no reason why she wouldn't be able to take on the role and go into that and really, you know, take it up to the men's game as well. You know, it's always going to happen, these rumours about Chelsea managers. They never stick around that long anyway. You know, there has been some tension, I believe, with the fact that Maurizio Sarri wasn't particularly thrilled with this pre-season friendly they played in Boston, which was obviously very close to the owner's heart on their fight against anti-Semitism. So, you know, there's always going to be those rumours. And I think, you know, after the Europa League, and we see what happens there, we'll just let the dust settle after that. And then, you know, it could be another summer of change. You wouldn't be surprised with, with anything Chelsea do particularly.
No, and it would be wonderful to see a woman take charge of a pro club in the men's game. Oliver, thanks ever so much for your time. Fascinating stuff. Oliver Harbord there, who is Chelsea correspondent for football.london. We're coming to the end of the show. We put the world to rights. We've confirmed that most of today's big transfer rumours are in fact rubbish, but some could have legs. And Ndombele to Spurs looks promising, as potentially does a new one. Gerard Deulofeu to Arsenal. Could we see it? But before I leave you, you've been voting in your droves on our Twitter poll on tonight's two truths and a lie. One of these two was a real, in inverted commas, transfer rumour. One I made up myself. Which was it? Harry Maguire to Man City, Alexis plus cash for Mbappe, or Zaha to Arsenal for 40 million. You were split. 12% of you said Maguire to Man City was rubbish. 36% said Zaha to Arsenal for 40 mil was rubbish. And a mighty 52% just about squeaked it, saying that was rubbish. And it was. I was lying to you. I promise. I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't do it, but I did. That has been the first ever edition of the Rumour Mill, setting those transfer worries to rights. And we'll be with you again tomorrow night.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.